Log Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, all of our wonderful Blog Talk Radio listeners. We're so happy that you have taken the time to join us on today for another exciting and informative episode of Prophetically Speaking, your internet radio broadcast. I'm your host of this particular show, and I am Prophetess Trinotia Balka. And along with me, I have an awesome co-host, wonderful, faithful laborer in the gospel with me, and that's none other than Prophetess Gloria Jenkins. Prophetess Jenkins, how is your day on today?
It is wonderful day in the Lord. I greet the listeners in the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, here in the city of Houston, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We do have a little bit of gloomy skies here today. The weather is a bit cold, but we are still celebrating that we are above the ground and not under the ground. So how's the weather there where you're located?
It is nice and sunny but cold.
Wow. Well, I totally understand that. But however, we're just grateful that we have an opportunity to see this day and to enjoy the opportunity of just being alive, the day that the Lord has afforded us to experience another moment of his grace, experience another moment of life, to be able to be a blessing to someone else's life, and for God to yet still be able to be a blessing to our life. Well, woman of God, I am going to give you an opportunity at this time to go ahead and greet our listeners and send your shout-out of love to your people that you love so dearly.
Hallelujah. First, give an honor to my Savior and my Lord, Jesus Christ. I thank God for him that he gives me life and gives me life abundantly. I give a shout-out to my family members. I have 5 sisters and 6 brothers. I thank God for every last one of them. I thank God for my pastors, Bishop Harold and Senior Pastor Clara Incline, when they pastor the church, Glory Victory Full Gospel Church. I also thank God for my awesome son who has given his life to the Lord. I've been praying, and he has given his life to the Lord. So I'm excited about that, what God is doing in my family life. I give also a shout-out to the woman of God who I co-host with, none other than Prophetess Trinotia Balka. I thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for the vision God has given you, that we are reaching people with the word of God, that people may be inspired by what we are saying to them and what God has given to us to give to them. So I give God glory today, and I invite everybody in our area in Glory Victory Full Gospel Church in the area of New Iberia, Louisiana, to come and be a part of with us. We are having a good time in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank God for today, and I thank God for the woman, like I said, the woman of God. I thank God for the listeners, too, that have taken it time out to be a partake of this program, and that you may be inspired by something we say today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, woman of God, before we go any further, I wanted you to take a moment to expound a little bit on a post that you place on Facebook, because I know that as we do this show, we have listeners from every walk of life, and we have those that are yet and still believing God for the salvation of their children. They're believing God for the salvation of their husbands or their wives. And I want you just to share a little bit of your testimony about the miracle that the Lord has blessed you with concerning your son, his spiritual walk, and I just want you to just share a little bit of that before we go any further. Go right ahead.
Hallelujah. I just said, let the Lord to be an inspiration to the people of God. Everything we go through is not always for ourselves, it's for others. So I just want to encourage anyone today that believes in God for a son, a brother, husband, whatever, then I urge you not to give up praying, not to give up fasting, not to give up believing, because then I'm telling you, in the long run, at the end of the believing, but trusting in fasting and believing God, God's going to come through for you. Like the woman God was saying that earlier, I have a son that's 37 years old, been through a whole lot of trouble, but I never gave up praying for him. I kept standing in the gap. No matter what it looks like, it was devastating at sometimes. It was hard at some time, but I kept calling on the name of the Lord that God, you were safe, and you promised me some things, and that was one of the promises that you would save my whole household. So I began to stand on God's promises, and I began to believe God for what His word say. And long story short, my son has turned his whole life around after many trials and tribulations. After many, he was incarcerated. I mean, just a whole lot of trouble in his life, and he turned his life around, and he's living for the Lord right now. So I just urge you, if you want to read my status on Facebook, you're welcome to go. And my name is Prophetess Gloria Jenkins on Facebook. My job and my task, I tell all people, is to inspire and encourage people in the walk that they're walking, no matter what it seems like. And we have to always remember that nothing's too hard for God. Anything we do, God is going to, He's going to back us up. He hears the prayer of a mother. He hears the prayer of a parent. And I'm here today on this broadcast saying that my whole life has shifted around because of what God has done in my life. My son sent me a woman, God goes, my son sent me a text about 2-3 days ago, and it said that he sent me a song by Boris Vian. The name of the song is My Mother, I think, or Mama. And he said his writing was, this song gives me cheers every time I hear it because I thank God for the unconditional love my mother had for me. And that's what it takes, unconditional love that I had for my son, my only child that I have living. I have 8 grandkids, but I have 1 son. And, I mean, I stood believing. I also say that in the post that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He stood and believed God's word, and God, he knew God was going to come and bring it to pass. And I took that same stand that, God, you promised me, you swore by your name you were blessed, you swore by your name that you would save my whole household. I believe it, and that settles it. And I thank God today, listeners, that if you are believing God for anything, it would be a child that's rebellious, a child that's missed, whatever state you're in right now, believe on the word of God and watch God bring miracles in your life. I am excited. I'm joyous for what God has done because He just proved Himself to be who He is, the God that saves. Amen?
Amen. And I just love to hear wonderful, victorious, exciting testimonies because, you know, in the walk that we walk and the life that we live, we always have an adversary that is doing all he can to steal the joy, to steal the victory, to steal the testimony of the saints of the Most High God. But it's always wonderful that we continue to hear wonderful praise reports about God being victorious in the lives of His people.
Amen.
And, you know, God, one of the things I've discovered is that anytime you do anything for a long length of time and you don't see any results, you have a tendency in your humanity to become weary. You have a tendency to become tired. You have a tendency to want to just say, you know, enough of this. You know, I want to see something different. I want to do something different because it's human. You know, it's even normal if you, as you live within your normal body, if you go so long without eating, your body begins to speak to you, and your body begins to tell you that I'm hungry, I need more food, I need more energy. And sometimes that's how it is when it comes to our spiritual walk. There are those of us that in one area or another, we have been believing for something sometimes for so long. And sometimes you've been believing and just walking with God, being faithful to God, being obedient to His word, being, you know, just really reluctant to release the promises of God. And sometimes in our spirit, we can become weary. We can become just like our bodies in need of more nutrients, in need of more food, in need of more energy. But then God will allow a testimony just like this one to come along to remind you, to reinvigorate your faith, to reintroduce you to the miracle-working power of God. And I'm going to go forth and give my shout-out so that we can start our show. But I think that this is something that is needed to be said and needed to be heard in the ears of many of God's believers because, you know, one of the things, woman of God, that I want my life to be guilty of is being a life of encouragement.
Amen.
I want this radio show to be guilty of. If nothing else, I want this show to be adamant about encouraging God's people. Whenever we put out our virtue values and whenever we put out our word for our power word for the day, whatever it is that TV Ministries is involved in, we want to be guilty of being an encouragement to God's people, because I am so aware of the tricks and the traps of the enemy, and I know that one of the biggest weapons that the enemy can get his hands on is a weary saint. One of the biggest tricks that the enemy can really come against another saint with is a weary saint. Because when a person becomes weary, weariness can not only affect the way you handle your posture, but weariness can also affect the way you walk. Weariness can also affect the way you talk.
Amen.
And if the enemy can ever get his hands on a weary saint, he can cause a once astute posture to become bent over. He can cause a person that has walked an upright and holy life to become bent, and even their walking for Christ. And begin, the enemy can turn words of faith, turn those words around into words of doubt. And so it's always so encouraging when there's always someone that is believing God, waiting on God, and trusting God, and standing on the promises of God, to believe God that, hey, God, this is what you promised me. This is what you said. And, Lord, I don't want to become a victim of weariness. I don't want to become a pawn in the hand of the enemy. I want to believe you. I want to trust you. I want to stand on your word. And sometimes in order for a saint to continue to do that, testimonies just like this one needs to be heard. You know, that's a time when, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. There's a time to stand and there's a time to sit. But I believe that whenever it comes to your testimony, whenever it comes to God bringing the victory into your life, that's a time to speak up. Because as she stated earlier, everything that we go through, we should never look at that as being all about us. Whatever we go through is always for someone else. So if I can share my testimony to be encouragement to somebody else, then that's exactly what I want to do, because I don't want my living to be in vain. You know, the Clark sisters had a song, phenomenal, even to this day, and they wrote a song that says, "Is my living in vain?" No, of course not. And so, people of God, women of God, men of God, young people of the Lord, we want to encourage you to continue believing in God. And one of the things, Prophetess Jenkins, that I'm aware of concerning your particular testimony was there was a particular area of time, there was a span of time when you did not even hear from your son. You did not know whether your son was dead or alive, but you continued to pray. You continue to trust God, and you continue to believe God. And if you don't mind, if you can share just a little bit of that, and we're going to go into our show. Go right ahead.
You know, God will give us a vision to hold on to. And I need to say this one, and also I say how he was missing. When he was at the age of 15, when he was a little teenage boy, I was at home, and it seems like I left my body and found myself at the airport. And I was greeted by a young lady, and she extended her hand and said that, "Hi, Mrs. Jenkins, I'm Willie's wife." Willie was 15. Remember, he's 15. And I looked past her and looked at him coming. In his hand, he has a briefcase in his hand and something underneath his arm. And he gives to me, he put the briefcase down, embraces me, and said, "Mom, I'm saved. I preached my first sermon Sunday, and I brought the videotape for you to see." Immediately, I found myself back in my living room sitting on the couch. But let me tell you something, listeners. All hell broke loose after that day. Everything you can imagine happened after that day. My son went on drugs. He was incarcerated. He went missing for 13 months, and I didn't know where he was. By that time, I had moved back to Louisiana, and I went back and forth to Dallas looking for him. 13 months I didn't hear a word from him. 13 months I didn't know whether he was living or dead. I didn't know anything, but I believed the word of the Lord, and God kept giving me that vision he gave me. God said, I gave you that vision to give you faith. When things, I didn't know what was ahead of me. When things got hopeless looking, I relied on that faith, on that vision, and I said, God, you promised. I kept saying, Lord, you promised. He's not dead, but he's alive. Lord, you promised. And I'm here to say today, after 13 months of missing, he surfaced himself, but still he didn't get saved. He still went through hell and high water and brought me through, you know, a lot of things to come. But I began to give him to God totally and relying on the vision that he gave me. I began to give tough love and say, Lord, I give him to you because he's for sure. And I'm telling you, after all these years, that son have definitely given his life to the Lord. He realized now that all the trouble and the heartache he went through could have been aborted. But we don't know that at the beginning. We see it after God began to change our life and say, Lord, had I known, I would have accepted you sooner. But I tell you, if faith works in our life, faith moves God, and we can have faith and stagger not us at his promises. Believe God for what you believe in God. I mean, whatever you're standing to believe God for, don't stagger, because God will surely, I'm a witness, God will surely bring it to pass. My loved ones, friends that know me, friends from Texas, friends from Oklahoma, know of my son. And to hear his testimony, yeah, and to see where he is right now, hallelujah, glory to God, they know that God has intervened. But she says, sister, the prophet, you did not give up. It was tough, but I didn't give up because I kept, God kept bringing back to that vision. God knew I needed a vision to rely on to keep the faith. He kept saying, well, I promise you, glory. And I kept saying, Lord, you promise. And I'm telling you, I praise God today for a good report that he didn't die in the street. It's testimony. Even when he was missing, woman of God, he said he was on the street for night. He said one day they were walking, and somebody came and shot the man next to him, killed him dead.
My God.
Killed him. But he said he missed him. And it took our running. But that's the angel of God and kept around our loved ones because he promised us that he would save them. And I'm here a testimony to you today that God don't lie. Neither do he's a son of man that he has to repent. If he spoke it, he's going to surely bring it to pass. I give God glory and honor today for such a magnificent work in my son's life. I thank God for Willie Jenkins III that he will be their prophet among the nations. Even while he's in my womb, God said, I called him to be a prophet. That's why he went through so much. You look at your kids and they're going through hell and high water. It's a reason God allowed some things to happen, because can't nobody tell it like Willie can tell it now. Can't nobody say it greater than he can say it. The lies that he would touch, he told me yesterday, Mom, I'm ready to touch lies. So I'm excited about that. I give God glory, give God all the glory, all the praise, all of the honor, the things he's done in Willie's life. And things he's done in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to his name.
Glory, glory, glory. Let me just stop for a moment and do my shout out.
God.
I tell you, I feel the anointing of God on everything that you're saying. My spirit just began to leap because of the anointing of God that is on the words that are coming out of your mouth. So let me just go ahead and give my shout out. We're going to go forward, because the anointing of God is really on their testimony. Let me just first of all just thank God for being God, for being my Lord, my Savior, my Christ. Just thank God for all of that. I want to thank God for my family. Thank God for my son. I want to thank God for my church, the Harvest Time Church family. And I just want to thank God for everything that he is doing at the Harvest Time Church, everything he's doing in my family, everything he's doing in our lives. And I just want to give God ultimate praise, because there's no one like our God, nobody like our God. Let me say that again. There is nobody like our God.
Hallelujah.
No God, our God. No one can compare to our God. No one can deliver like our God. Nobody can do anything
but
compare to our God. There's no God like our God. And I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. On today, I love him. And so, woman of God, we have a topic on today, but I'm telling you, that testimony is just so enlightening. It's so it's just so encouraging. It's just such a word to someone, and I just feel, you know, as you're speaking, that the water of God's word just begins to quench the thirst of somebody's soul, to let them know that God is a man of his word. You know, one of the things I learned, Prophetess Jenkins, is that in this life that we live, in this world, we unfortunately have men that father children, and somehow they forget that they have children. They don't feed them. They don't pay child support. They don't worry about clothes. They go on as if the kids don't even exist. But one thing about our God, my God, your God, our God, he is not a deadbeat dad. He never makes a promise that he cannot fulfill. He never says to his children that I promise you I'm going to do something and he doesn't do it. He never leaves his children alone. Never. You know, woman of God, there's something I was meditating on this week. And one thing we often say is that we're walking with God. We're walking with God. We're walking with God. But isn't it awesome when we can turn that around and we realize that not only are we walking with God, but God is walking with us?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful to know? Am I talking to him, but he's talking to me? Not only am I sending up a worship and a praise to let him know how wonderful he is, but he comes back to encourage me, to remind me of who he created me to be and how wonderful I am. He said, I created you, and whatever I created is wonderfully made. Isn't it awesome when we get that type of relationship with God, when we realize that it's not a one-way street? You know, sometimes you can call people and the voicemail picks up. Sometimes you text the person and they don't text you back. But when it comes to our God, there's not one time I can call him and he won't pick up the phone and answer. There's not one time that I can reach out and say, Daddy, and he'll let me know, baby, I'm right here. Is God awesome? He's a mighty God. And you know, woman of God, that leads me into the topic that we are discussing on today. And I just want to thank God. I'm telling you, I thank God for what he's doing in your life. I thank God for what he's doing in your son's life. I thank God for you releasing that word of encouragement on today to the listeners, to you, to me, just to remind all of us that God is God. And that takes us into our topic, because, woman of God, that we started a couple of weeks ago speaking about jealousy. And a couple of weeks ago we talked about the jealousy of people, how a person can be jealous of another person for one reason or another, how a person can become envious of another person for one reason or another. And either way, we know those are not good characteristics to carry. They're not good. You know, it makes a person untrustworthy. It makes a person lose out on wonderful relationships that God really does have for them. You know, it's just like if you really kept somebody and you really have their best interest in mind, you really want to see the best for them, but because they may be jealous or envious of you, the relationship becomes destroyed because of envy and jealousy. And so it's not something that we really want to have to be a part of our lives, but and we want to come to you and let you know that we did not join you on last week, but we stated before, we're going to state one more time, whenever we're not on this show live, we always have archives. We have almost 2 years worth of archives for you to enjoy. So whenever we're not here live, we welcome you to come right on into the Prophetically Speaking show and enjoy any of those archives that you'd like. So on today, woman of God, as we were discussing jealousy and as we were discussing these characteristics of jealousy, we want to today discuss another topic of jealousy, because we want to talk about somebody that we never, ever, ever want to make jealous, someone that we never, ever want to become enraged as a result of our actions. And any person is the person of God himself. And so today we're going to discuss for just a moment what makes God jealous. So, woman of God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about that for just a moment.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we can think about the characteristic of jealousy. Jealousy is a strong, strong characteristic. If you have it in your life, it could be good. It's good on God's point of view, but it's bad on our when we begin to jealous and envy somebody for what they have. So when you're talking today about what makes God jealous, we need to remember that we are on this earth for a purpose. All of us for a purpose. We've been put here for a reason. We are ordained to do what he's called us to do, not what we want to do. We are his servants. I keep that in my mind, that I'm a servant of the Most High God. It might say, you're a servant. Yes, I am a servant, because that's why I could have been dead sleeping in my grave many years ago. But he chose me, saved me, filled me with his precious Holy Ghost, and now I'm serving him. So I'm his servant to do his will. So my task on this earth is to encourage and edify the body of Christ. I'm standing in God's place. So when I stand in his place, I'm to do what he said to do. If I do otherwise, then I'm in trouble with God. So we're talking today, what makes God jealous? It's important that we understand what the word jealousy is saying in the Bible. You know, God, the Bible, Exodus 24 and 5 talks about how God is a jealous God. Exodus 24 and 5 says, you should not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, on the earth, beneath, or in the waters below. You should not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God is saying here to right now that I call you to magnify my name. In the process of magnifying, worshiping him, God bless and edifies us. I can't find a better reason, a better time to give God the worship. I just can't stop worshiping him. I know what God was saying earlier, how she loved the Lord. I mean, after 34 years of serving God, my love has grown immensely. I mean, overwhelming for God. Because had it not been for him, glory to God, I don't know where I would be. But I thank God today, this day, I thank God today that he saved me and I'm his servant. And we're talking about God is a jealous God when you give somebody else his glory. That's what he's talking about. That's what makes him mad. That's what makes him upset. When he deserves the glory, and you begin to bow down to idols. You say, well, we don't have idols. That was back in the Old Testament. Anything you place above God is your idol. It could be your husband, your children, your house, your car. Anything that's above God that you make over God, it's your idol. And we need to not do that, because that's what caused God to be jealous. Because he wants the worship. He, not that he wants it, but he deserves it. A lot of us should have been dead. The woman of God practiced Tenothia should have been dead, sleeping in her grave. But, oh, bless God today, that God said, no, it's not so, because I have a work for her to do. I've called that woman to be my servant, and I know she will obey me fully. And I can see myself saying, Lord, I've dedicated my whole 34 years. I've been saying, no, I dedicated those 34 years to God to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So we are serving a God that's jealous when you give others glory or you give other things glory when he deserves the glory. In those verses, we are speaking of people making idols and building, bowing down to and worshiping all those idols instead of giving God the worship that belongs to him. God is possessive of worship and service that belong to him. It's a sin to worship or serve another other than God. Oh, glory to God. It's a sin to serve anything other than God, to worship or even bow down. You know, anything that's other than God, you know, we are nothing. You have to remember, we are nothing without Christ. My girlfriend from Dallas, Texas, always says, this is her favorite scripture. She says, only what I do for Christ will last. And that is so profound for me. That has gotten to be in my spirit. Only what I do for Christ will last. And only what I do for, when I worship him, it lasts. When I give him glory and praise, it lasts. That's how worship breaks boundaries. Worship breaks struggles in our life. We can begin to go through things in our life. We need to stop through the struggle, right in the midst of the struggle, and begin to give God the praise. Begin to worship the God of the universe, the God that saved you, the God that cleansed you, the God that made you whole. Give him all the glory. He deserves it. If we do other than that, then you've made a jealous God. You've made a jealous God when you begin to worship other than what he said to do. It's a sin that we worship others, other things, other people, other than our God. Amen?
Amen. That's powerful. And you said a lot. You said a mouthful. And there are so many things that you said that I really want to touch on. One of the things I want to read really quickly is in Deuteronomy 6 and 15. It says, "For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. And anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land." And this is sometimes we don't like to entertain this particular side of God. You know, we have people that only want to see God as a Santa Claus. We only want to see him as a God that gives wonderful gifts. We only want to see him as a God that is a healer. He's a God that is a way maker. He's a God that can open a closed door. He is a God that makes us above only and not beneath. He's a God that puts money in our empty pockets. He's a God, you know, we see him as this wonderful God, but we only see him as a God that is able to do wonderful and mighty things. But one of the things that we don't like to do is we don't like to look at the opposite side of who God is. And you know, the thing about God is that it's just when we look at each other and when we look at people some that are tall, some that are short, some that are heavy, some that are thin, some that are Caucasian, some that are African American, some that are Asian, some that are Chinese. You have Russians, you have Islam, you have people from all different walks of life, but yet God, in his sovereignty, created all of them.
Yes.
And so if God is that much of a diverse God, that he can allow each one of us to have so many different variations in our looks, and our likes, and the things we eat, the people we hang around with. We have all of these different identities, yet they all come to the reality of who God really is.
Amen.
So God is a God that creates in such a variety, such a mass variety of people, of things, of creations. Why do we not think that God himself has a mass variety of faces? He's the God of us all. So therefore, he's the God that, yes, because I'm happy, clap your hands if you know, but yet he's a God of joy. Yet he's also the God that allows sorrow. Yet he's the God that also brings anger. Yet God has all these different variations that we may not want to become familiar with. And one of the greatest things that we must realize about God is that God is a jealous God. A woman of God, I don't know if you have, I have, I don't know if you've ever experienced the jealousy of a man. When a man desires all of his woman's attention, and it's not his desire that she gives that attention, the attention that she gives to him, he does not desire that attention to be given to anyone for the exception of him. If you call him boo baby, then you can't call anybody else boo baby, because that makes him jealous. If you call him your sweetheart, he does not want you to call anyone else your sweetheart, because why? That's his position. One of the things I always like to do is I like to bring in natural, relevant examples to allow us to see, to better understand the spiritual analogies that we try to bring to the show. So if we look at the earthly relationships between a man and a woman, how a woman loves a man and how a man loves a woman, and how they both desire a certain a level of attention and affection from one another, and they don't leave any room for that attention or affection to be given to another. That is even more so how God is. When we say that we are saved, when we have now renounced the works of Satan, when we have now renounced the evil works of the enemy, and we declare that God is our God, when we stand in a place of surety, when we open our mouths and confess that Jesus is Lord, then there's no other space, there's no other room for any other God. There's no other space. You know, women of God, had an opportunity the other week. I was looking at a show on television that comes on cable. And there was a particular woman on this show talking about her religion, talking about her beliefs. And her religion was that of voodoo. And she stated that this is what she was brought up in. She was brought up in voodoo. And she used the word God often. She would say different types of chants. And the person that was interviewing her would ask her, what was she saying and why was she saying it? And she would say, well, this particular chant means that God is the God of this. And this particular chant means that God is the God of that. But see, she worshiped, her worship style is that of voodoo. See, there's a whole nother God at work. So you can't take the God that she's worshiping of voodoo and then bring it over into the God who's our God, the one and only true and living God, and take to and put them together. That won't work. That's not going to work. Now you are worshiping another God, and so now the one and only true and living God has become jealous, because now the space that you've given to him, you are now allowing someone else to occupy. And because you are now allowing another God to be called God, a small G-O-D, to be placed in the place of the Lord G-O-D, he now becomes angered. He now becomes jealous. What does it mean when we say God becomes jealous? The Word of God tells us that God becomes a consuming fire. What does it mean to consume? It means to devour. It means to destroy. It means to get rid of. It means that if you take a piece of paper that was once a piece of paper, fire to that once piece of paper, and if you let it burn long enough, you will not even be able to tell that it was once a piece of paper. It will become consumed. And when it's all over, you will not be able to see anything for the exception of ashes. Woman of God, I believe, you know, even though there are times when we don't want to acknowledge that God can become this angry, that his jealousy can become so just like a burning fire, we don't want to acknowledge that. But you know, woman of God, I believe that there are times that we've seen right here on this earth, we've seen situations that may take a person out, take a person under. And sometimes we it's hard to just acknowledge. It's hard for us to say, well, you know, God was in that. We don't want to say that. We don't want to admit that because we only want to see God as a good God. We only want to see God as a gift giver. We only want to see God when he's put money in our pocket and doing all those things that we love him to do. But we don't want to see God be the God of his word. We don't want to see God as a consuming fire. We don't want to see God devour. We don't want to see him demolish. But, you know, the truth is that's a side of God that is just as real as him being our Savior. That's a side of God that is just as powerful as him being our healer. That's a side of God that is just as relevant as him being our provider. God is a jealous God. And whenever we take anything and we place it in his spot and we begin to call someone else what we have designated to call him, we begin to acknowledge that someone else has the power that only he has. He becomes jealous. He becomes enraged. And then he begins to do exactly what he said he would do.
My God.
And so, woman of God, when I was sitting down, my God, I feel the power of God all over me. I was sitting down, and I was talking to the Lord, and I began to ask him about our shelter, and I began to talk to him about what we were going to discuss and how we were going to discuss it. The Lord began to tell me, tell the people that I'm a jealous God. Yeah, let them know that I'm a consuming fire. And the thing about God that sometimes we get so confused by, we get so confused and baffled by, is because God is a God of mercy. And we often think that because he has not done what he said he would do after all this time, that we have the nerve to think that he won't do it. Oh, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. I'm going to have a little bit of voodoo there. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. I'm going to have a little bit of witchcraft there. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. I'm going to do a little bit of manipulation right there. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. I'm going to do a little bit of sneaky and conniving things there. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. I'm going to have a little bit of throwing my dust on the side right there. I'm going to have a little bit of God here. Then I'm going to have a little bit of going to the fortune teller, letting her read my cards, read my palm, so she can tell me what my future is. But then we do it for so long, and God forgives, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it until he has to stand up and say, look, I am a consuming fire, and I am a jealous God. You know, it's just like woman of God, we've seen on the news time and time again about men that are having affairs on their wives. We've seen just a couple of years ago, there was a particular dentist right here in the city of Houston, Texas, continued to have an affair, and his wife got word of it. And they'd had a little bit of a controversy about it before, and word is that he was supposed to have gotten out of the adulterous affair and had been faithful to his wife, but the wife decided to go to follow him and get on his trail and tried him right to a hotel where he was meeting the other woman. And the man realized that the wife was out, and the wife began to make a scene. The man wanted to try to calm her down, and when he came out, she ran over him in rage. And not only did she run over him, but she backed the car up again, and she ran over him again. And then she pulled the car forward, and she ran over him again because she was enraged. She'd had all she could take. He had done all that he could do and drove her to the point of never, ever returning. And now the woman is spending the rest of her life incarcerated because her jealousy consumed her. The man angered her to the the point of no return. And people of God, that's not where we want to get our God to. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But we also want to remember that he is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. And when we continue to push that button over and over and over again, after a while, we're going to feel the wrath of God. And we're going to know that not just the words of the book says that he's a consuming fire, but he's going to show us that he's a consuming fire. Go right ahead, Prophet Jenkins.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say the month for God is a consuming fire. I hear the Spirit of God saying that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death. That meaning that you can, that the woman, she lost her mind. She thought what she was doing was the best way to solve her problem, but it wasn't the best way to solve her problem. If she had been worshiping God, she would have saw a different way, but that's neither said nor done. But what I'm saying today is that there's a way that seems right unto a man. We think we're doing the right thing. People really think they're doing the right thing when they run to the voodoo man, because he's giving them the answer they need.
Yes.
When you really go and worship an idol, that God said, don't you dare worship idols. Don't you dare put your trust in nothing else but me. But they run to the voodoo man, they run to the witches, depending on the witchcraft and the witches and everything else, and they think that's the answer, but it's not the answer. God said, you keep trusting in that, the end is death. You have to be careful, because God is a, you said God is a jealous God.
Yes.
God is a jealous God. His jealousy is not a sin. It's a sin when you desire something that does not belong to you.
Yes.
Jealous, it's a sin when you begin to desire something that don't belong to you. The same thing with God. God said, you give something to something else that don't belong, it belongs to me. Worship belongs to me. Honor belongs to me. Praise belongs to me. But you give it to an idol, you give it to a man, you give it to children that where it doesn't belong. God said, I deserve all the worship. I deserve all the praise. He said, well, that's a puffed up God. God is who he is. He's a big God. We wouldn't be here had it not been for him. Oh, I glorify him today. I bless him this day that he saw fit to let me still live and let me still proclaim his word. Let me tell others that God is real. He is a consuming fire. Amen? We have to have, and therefore God have a right for jealousy. He has a right to jealousy when we don't give him the worship and the praise and honor. He has that. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that in it that is my only name. That is my name, he says. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images.
Yes.
I shall be jealous for my holy name.
Yes.
Ezekiel 39:25 says, but this Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name, he said. Whose name would you call on? You can't call on another name. You're in trouble. Because guess what? It doesn't work. You won't get rescued. Your problem won't get solved if you call on another name. But when I call on the name of God, he answers. I tell him, a friend of mine, I said, let's pray. When we pray, he listens, and then he answers. That's what he does. When we pray to him, he listens to us. He listens. And one scripture in Psalm says, why you on your knees praying? I'm going to paraphrase. Say, why you on your knees praying? I'm going to go ahead and answer before you even get through praying. That's how faithful he is. That's how he hearkens to the voice of his children, those who worship and adore him. Admiration belongs to the Lord. Oh, I love him this day. I love him this day. I love God this day because woman of God will not even think about the crucifixion that has grown. We're not thinking about what he did for me, that he sent his only son. See, we take that scripture lightly. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in, they will have life, everlasting life. I don't take it literally no more. I thank it. I'm grateful that Jesus chose to obey his father. Now, he's sitting into heaven, but God sent him on earth. He worshiping and he had blessed the Lord, because I need you to go down for mankind. So we know we've got to give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to give him the glory. Amen? Because God, God's Genesis does not grow out of insecurity, anxiety, frustration, or covetousness, pride, or spite, as we do. It's natural and necessary byproduct of his absolute and infinite holiness. Let me just say that again. God jealousy does not grow up. Is he not insecure? Because he said, I cause it. You don't pray. Because I cause the rocks to cry.
My God.
Hey, that's what he's saying in the glory. You don't praise, you're getting the glory. I cause the rocks to cry. Well, I have the devil forsake you more than I do. The devil can't do it. He can't ask to be God. But he has people fooled and tricked that he's afraid of calling this on the inside of him. But don't you know the devil's a liar? He's always going to be a liar?
Right.
I decide to trust in my God. I decide to honor and give him the worship. That's why when you go to church, you should enter to work, not just church. Worship begins at home. Yeah, in the house, you begin to give him the worship.
That's
he
right.
Deserves it.
That's right.
Woman of God, he deserves it. He deserves all.
Absolutely.
Your testimony by itself, you bless. Every time I think about you, Prophet 103, when I think about you, I think about God's grace. I think about you, I think about his awesome power.
Yes.
When I think about you, I think about his resurrection power.
Mm-hmm.
He rose you from the dead.
Yes, he did.
He said to you, I'm going to walk out the word in your life.
Yes.
You didn't know to what magnitude God was talking about, but God walked the word out in your life.
Yes.
That's why you are so infected. And many people are jealous, but they're jealous of what God did. You didn't do it. You should have been dead.
That's right.
So God said, I told her I'm going to walk the word on her life. And she's going to walk through the healing. She's going to walk through the struggle she in. She's going to walk through having blindness, not walking, not getting to feed herself. She's going to walk through that because I'm going to give her success.
Mm.
I'm going to give her a word in her mouth will burn in such a nursing and set captives free. People know that they know they can be healed when you didn't know they hear your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. We need to decide to hearken to the word of God.
My God.
But he's going to get the glory. He's going to get the worship. And we have to meet by them.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And some woman of God, something else just came to my mind because we both read scriptures from the Old Testament to come forward. And, you know, we have some people that actually don't believe in the Old Testament. And so what I did was I said, okay, well, God, I want to go to the New Testament as well. 1 Corinthians 10:22. It says, I'm sorry, I need to keep reading. 1 Corinthians 10:22 says, are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So whenever we do things that are not according to God's word, we are then trying to be stronger than God. You know, we discussed the other week that the ultimate plan of the enemy is to say to God that I'm stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are using these different forms of idolatrous worship, when we are idolatry and we're constantly doing all of these things that are not according to God's plan, then what we're doing is we're saying, in other words, we're saying, God, we're stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in the scripture, he says, and so what are you saying? Are you trying to say that your power is bigger than my power? Your works are bigger than my works. And so the question is asked, are you trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy?
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 11:2. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. That's great all in itself because, as I stated earlier, I love giving these different types of analogies. This is just so plain and simple. If we're going to be married to one man, I stated earlier when we talked about a man and a woman, and, you know, woman of God, if we can just bring it down and just make it pure and just make it plain,
mm-hmm.
I know many men that are really upright and holy, that don't have a problem with having a wife that has been exposed to multiple men. I'm not certain. I don't know many godly men. I don't know any. I'm not saying somebody else doesn't, but the men of God that I know, prefer a chaste woman, prefer a woman that has not been passed around from one bed to the next, from one man to the other, that may be able to go and get some advice from the brother that's sitting right next to him to ask him how she was the other week.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in the Bible, it tells us that God himself is wanting us to be pure. Now, why did I give that example? Because we have to be pure in our spirits to keep God from becoming jealous. What does it mean to be pure in our spirits? It means that my spirit is untainted by another God. I have not been touched by another. My affections are not given to another. I am not becoming naked to another. That's what it means in the realm of the spirit. I'm not sneaking in dark places, exposing my spirit being to another God, and then coming in the open and pretending that you are the only God that I have. I'm not doing that. It's the same way it is with the man and a woman. If I'm coming and saying, you are all I have, you, this is it. There's no hidden agenda. There's no secrets here. And then I leave from your presence and I meet someone down the street around the corner, then that love has been tainted. That love is not pure. That love is not just between me and you, but that love is between me and you and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so what God is saying, I love you, but right now this relationship is all about me and you. I'm not allowing, you know, another to come in. We have some people that are acting in this pure act perversion. They call it swinging. The couples bring in another person into the private areas of their lives. That's not how God is. God is saying it's all about me and you. Don't put anybody else in my place. Don't lay another man's head on my pillow. Don't give your heart to another. Don't expose yourself to another. Don't whisper sweet nothings to another. Why? Because I belong to you and you belong to me. You know, that's in the Song of Solomon. When he says, you are my beloved, then I am yours.
Yeah.
I love you and you love me. It's all about me and you. And that's how that love relationship has to be with God. We have to become so in love with him. We have to become so taken by him. We have to become so intrigued by him. And I often use the natural analogies because that's what makes sense many times to the human nature. But sisters, how do you feel when you see your man, your husband, the one you love walking through the room? You begin to blush. You begin to flutter. You get happy. Sometimes your cheeks become rosy. Because you know that's my boo thing. That's my baby. That's the one that's for me. He has entered into the room, and that's the same way he feels about you. But that's how we ought to feel when God enters into the room. We ought to get happy, get joyous, be excited. Our cheeks should become rosy. Our spirits ought to become excited. And you know, the thing about love encourages you to give to the person that you love. When it's time for birthdays or holidays, we want to give to that person that we love. We want to receive from the person that we love. Why? Because we are exchanging love. That's how it's got to be with God. When we wake up, God, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You gave me another day. Because you have given me this day as a gift, I'm going to give my life to you as a gift. You give to me, I give to you. We can't make it a one-sided thing. I'm doing all the giving and you're doing all the taking, and I'm not doing any of the receiving. I don't know about you, woman, but woman of God, but I love gifts. I love them. I love when I'm able to open up my mailbox and I find a card that says I was just thinking about you today, and I just want you to know that I love you. I love things like that. That's how it is got to be with God.
Yes.
When we wake up in the morning, just wake up, throw him a kiss. Let him know, God, I love you. There's nobody else but you. It's just me, and you. And this is not only just to the single women, but to the married women. And
yes.
This is not only just to the women, but this is to the men.
Hallelujah.
You've got to love God just like that. We've got to let every day be a Valentine's Day when it comes to our relationship with God. And allow no one to come between the love that we have. And then, woman of God, I'm going to say this and we're going to get ready to end, but when it comes to us not making God jealous, you know, in normal relationships, anytime an individual steps in to cause a division between me and the one I love, then that's the person that normally you want to get rid of. Is that right?
That's it.
That's the same way it has to be when it comes to our relationship with God. Anything that don't cause you to worship it more than you worship him, that's the thing that's got to go. Any shoe, any bag, any car, any home, any man, any woman, any diamond, any pearl, any place or anything that takes the place of God, that's the thing that's got to go. Because now that means that there's been an interruption. There's been an interruption in our relationship. And anytime there's an interruption in our relationship, whatever it is that's interrupting the flow, that's the thing that's got to go. Anything else you want to add, woman of God?
You said a mouthful. Love is to give to the person we love. We are to give God. We talked about today jealousy and praise and worship. We say it in all in a this says it in a nutshell right here. Love is to give to the person we love. And when you think about that, I mean, you're going to give God all the worship. You're going to give him all the praise. You're going to give him the time. You're going to do the service. You're going to be his servant. You're going to give to the person that you love. Amen? You're going to give to that. I'll give to my God. We're going to be a tithe. We're going to be bless God. We're going to give because we know God loves the cheerful giver. He loves that. So we are to give all that he deserves. He's not taking something illegally, neither unrightfully. He deserves all the praise and the worship. Amen?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I tell you what, you know, when it comes to the subject of God being a jealous God, I can really go on and on because I love God. I really do. I love him. And you know, there's no other God in my life besides him. And he is just, you know, he's been a good God to me. I love him. He's been faithful to me. I'm faithful to him. And, you know, the thing about a woman of God is I don't desire another God. See, that's the thing about love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I can go on and on about when you really love, when, you know, and the thing about love, and we're going to go, but the thing about love is that love has needs.
Mm-hmm.
Love has wants and love has desires.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's oftentimes when you hear of infidelity, one of the main things that people always say is they weren't meeting my needs. I didn't feel fulfilled.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't, you know, talking to me, or they weren't loving me, or they were paying more attention to that than me. They were working so much they forgot all about me. They were, you know, so attentive to the business, or they were so attentive to the others that they forgot that I existed. When it comes to love, love has needs and love has desires. And so it's the same way that we have to look at our relationship with God. God is God. Now, God created all. God owns all. But when it comes to our relationship with him, there's a need that he has.
Mm-hmm.
That is that we worship him. There's a want that he has God is that we praise him. Somebody say, well, God doesn't need my worship. No, he doesn't. But if he does not need you here on this earth to do anything else but to worship him, then what else are you here for? So in other words, that's a need. Somebody may say, God can give whatever you want from anybody else. You're right. But if he's not going to get it from you, then what's the purpose of you being here?
Okay.
What's the purpose of you being here if you're not going to give him what he wants? Am I wrong or am I right, woman of God? You come to yes, if you have an intimate relationship with someone and they come, you know, you know what the requirements are in the relationship. You already know. You know when you get married. You know what the requirements are.
Yeah.
But you've already made up in your mind that that's a requirement that you don't want to feel. Then why would you enter into that covenant if you already know that you're not willing to fulfill the needs of the covenant? So then in a situation like that, your position in the covenant is no longer needed.
Yeah.
Because you're not willing to fulfill your end of the bargain. It's the same way with God. If God requires an intimate walk with you, an intimate relationship with you, and you have decided that that's something that I don't want to do, God has no need for you. You're not here on God's earth to make God's money. You're here on God's earth to give God worship and to give God glory. And when you have decided that you're on God's earth that he created, and you have made another God more important than him, then he really has no need for you. Reason why he says I've become a consuming fire. Because if you being on his earth, sucking up his air, using his amenities, and yet you have brought another God into his atmosphere, to honor, to worship, to love, to sacrifice to that God over him, what is the need of him keeping you here on this earth? That's when the Bible goes on to say, God is a consuming fire.
Hallelujah.
Jealousy will consume. And the Word of God went on to say that he will keep destroy you from the face of the earth. Remember, people of God, God is a jealous God.
Hallelujah.
He loves you with an everlasting love. But his love is so strong. My God, and I can go on and on about this. It seems like the more I want to bring it to an end, the more things just begin to come to my mind. Because, woman of God, you know, there's a saying that says, I work hard and I play hard. You know, some people love hard. You know, there's some people that just love hard. There's some people that when they love you for real. There's no ins and no outs about it. There's no if, ands, or buts. If I say I love you, then I love you. That's the same way God is. God loves hard. And when he loves so hard that he would send his only son, you know, that's some hard love.
Yes, ma'am.
I have one son, and I love him dearly. I love him, I'm telling you, with everything I have in me. And for me to love you enough to say, Prophetess Jenkins, I'm going to send my baby, my only boy, my only son, to die, to shed his blood for you because I love you, that's some real love. That's some hard love. And woman of God, if he loves us that much, then surely we are to love him enough to make a spot for him and allow no other person to take his place. No matter what the other God may offer, no matter how appealing it may look, no matter how tasty it may be, no matter what, because you know when it comes to a man trying to seduce a woman from her marriage or from her relationship, the first thing he wants to do is he wants to do a study on the man that she already has. Because what he wants to do is offer that woman what that man is not able to offer her. And if he finds that that man is already a millionaire, he's not going to come and offer her $1 million, but he will offer her a whole lot of time. If that man has a whole lot of time to give, but he doesn't have a whole lot of money to give, then when the other one comes in the picture, he's not going to offer her a whole lot of time. He's going to offer her a whole lot of money. That's how it is in your relationship with God. These other gods come to seduce you. They don't come to seduce you with something that you know is already there. They come to give you what? Most of the time, woman of God, I've studied this stuff long enough, time, whenever an individual is given to another god, what does that other god offer? They always come with one thing: I can give you power. Mm-hmm. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, when God said to them, do not eat of that tree of knowledge, of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan came along and did what? Seduced the woman. And what did he seduce her with? Power. He told her, the reason why God does not want you to eat from that tree is because he does not want you to have the same knowledge that he has, because he knows that if you have the same knowledge that he has, you'll have the same power that he has. Whenever another god comes on the scene to seduce you from the one and only true living God, he always comes with one thing: I'll give you power. Power to do what? Now, the word of God says that God is giving you power to give what? But what the other enemies will do is come to tell you, I can give it to you right now. You don't have to go through a process with me. Mm-hmm. If you sell yourself to me, sign a contract with me, I can give you everything you want right now. I can give it to you right now. And that's the trick when the enemy comes, when he seduces God's people, to cause them to make God jealous, because he comes to tell them that when God tells you that you got to wait with me, you don't have to wait. I can give it to you right now. I can make people bow down to you. I can make people, I've seen, oh, woman of God, let me tell you, I've had so much encounter with this stuff. I know of an individual right now that is so deep in witchcraft that whenever people don't do what they want them to do, they begin to send a spirit of cancer. I have seen them. I have seen over and over again people dying from cancer because they have made this individual mad. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. So when it comes to this other God stuff, let me tell you, woman of God, I know what I'm talking about. And so when we say God is the one and only true and living God, we've got to give him his spot and don't let nobody else have it. We're going to get ready to get off of this air because I can keep going on.
Glory to his name.
I can keep going on and on about this. I'm telling you, my mouth, my jaws become filled with information because I have been, let me tell you, the enemy is coming at me with so much, and God has allowed me to learn so much. I call it about this back door stuff. You know, there are times when we see stuff right at the front door, when we see things as they're at the front door, but there are times when you have to allow God to give you knowledge about what's coming in the back door. Because it's coming in the back door that wants to catch you off guard, that wants to catch you by surprise. And that is that seducing spirit of the enemy. Prophetess Jenkins, we're going to get ready to go. We're going to continue this conversation. But, woman of God, I love you. I thank God for you, and I praise God for your testimony. I thank God for your steadfastness in the Lord. And we're going to get ready to go on tonight. Share with the listeners if they want to come to Bible study. Where is it that they need to come to?
They need to come to Full Glory Victory, Full Gospel Church at 321 Happen here in New Iberia, Louisiana, where we praise and worship the Lord like we've lost our mind. And that is the church where we care what happens to you. So I ask you to come be a part with us, and let's worship the Lord together. Amen?
Amen. And on tomorrow night, for those of you that are in need of not in need, but those that just want to come to worship, I want to invite you to the Harvest Time Church located here in Houston, Texas, 17770 Imperial Valley Drive. One other thing, woman of God, the month of March, we are not having March Madness, but we are being mad in the month of March. Mad interpreted, making a difference. We want to make a difference in your life. So what we're doing is we're upping our evangelism techniques. We are going forth in full force evangelism to win the lost to Christ. So for those of you that are listening that do not have a place to worship, or maybe you do, you just need a word from the Lord, come see us on tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m. Sunday, we're going to be in the house at 8:30 as well as 11 o'clock. I love you. God bless you. Until next Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m., Prophetess Jenkins and I are going to be praying for you. We pray that you pray for us. God bless you. And until next week at 3 o'clock p.m., prophetically speaking, is now signing off. I love you, Prophetess, and we'll talk again on next week. Amen.